We'll sneak up on the June 22nd, 2007 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report for June 22nd, 2007. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Just what impact have the 17-year cicadas had on the ham bands in the Midwest this past month? Stick around to the end of this program for the startling answer. This week, we bring you our fifth and final excerpt from the 2007 Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum. William Cross, W3TN, employed in the Mobility Division of the FCC's Wireless Communications Bureau, handled some Q&A during the final minutes of that forum. One issue that he spent almost 10 minutes addressing was whether the commission considers D-Star digital repeaters as being true duplex repeaters.
Section 97.7 says that when transmitting, each amateur station must have a control operator. When a station is being locally or remotely controlled, the control operator must be at the control point. When a station, regardless of what it is transmitting, is being automatically controlled, the control operator need not be at the control point, but the use of devices and procedures for control of the station when it is transmitting, so that compliance with the FCC rules is achieved, is required. And the one who must figure out what the devices and procedures are needed for control of a station is the licensee. This is required by Section 97.103A. The station licensee is responsible for the proper operation of the station, period. This is a responsibility you cannot delegate, you cannot give away, you cannot ignore, shirk, duck, or wink at. The operational rule is this: your call sign, your responsibility. You get the Rileygram. And you get to answer it. If your answer starts with, well, the manufacturer says, or the system, or Waterman, your next letter will be from a district director and will note that your station is no longer to operate under automatic control. We can do this because Section 97.109D provides that automatic control must cease upon notification of a district director that the station is transmitting improperly or causing harmful interference to another station. Automatic control may not be resumed without a prior approval of the district director. There is no appeal, there is no sniveling, and no whining aloud. Blessed are you, for you have been removed from the curse of operating under automatic control. Now go in peace and work DX. As we have said before repeatedly, the FCC does not regulate your systems. We do not approve them. This includes all different kinds of systems, including D-Star. We regulate stations, each station individually. That's what the rules apply to. Analyzing a system for compliance is the sole responsibility of each user in the system. In the case of D-Star, D-Star is a marketing term that was developed by a manufacturer, just like Sky Command or some of the other terms that are around here. A manufacturer put it out and put out certain information with it. One of the terms that they used was repeater. A repeater is defined in the rules as a station that receives on one or more channels and simultaneously retransmits on others. You, as the licensee, the person putting your call sign on that thing, has to look at what the manufacturer said, look at that radio, look at how it is operating, look at what it is doing, and decide, is this a repeater? You can't rely on the manufacturer's marketing in to say that it's a repeater. Analyzing a system for compliance is the sole responsibility of each user station in the system. That is why it is so vitally important that every station licensee and every control operator participating in a system read the rules and understand the responsibilities. There are no special accommodations in the rules for EchoLink, WinLink 2000, the Intercon, Maritime Mobile, or 247 nets, contests, field days, D-Star, or any other such system or operating event. Now, there is help for you in this matter, though. I'm going to put a plug in for John Johnston, W3BE. John is a fellow who is very knowledgeable about the rules, and he writes a column for World Radio Magazine and other publications. He has prepared checklists. They are called BE informed checklists, or be informed. BE checklist number one explains the duties that each party and can help guide you through the rules. John has prepared six of these checklists, and they are available as an MS Word document file, free by email. They also are on his website, http://w3be.home.att.net. http://w3be.home.att.net. The questions and answers come from the past columns that John has written, which are very extensive, and the questions and answers there will cure almost anything that ails you. They are free. You can download them. If there's a question about something like this particular system, go take a look at the BE informed checklists. You will get a lot of guidance and a lot of help there, and much of it will help you ask questions.
You're listening to our final excerpt from the FCC Forum held this spring at the Dayton Hamvention. We'll conclude our final excerpt from this forum with William Cross, W3TN, in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
Now, as far as D-Star goes and this whole exchange, what routinely happens is an amateur radio operator will send a question in. We try and answer the question as best we can. If someone sends in a question and says, the system does this and this, and there's a delay, and, you know, it's so many, you know, half a second or something, I'm not going to argue with him about whether the system really does that, or is it a half second or three-quarter second or something like that. I'm going to try and answer his question. If someone wants to send in a question that is skewed a particular way or misrepresents something, they're going to get an answer back based on what they asked. Ask a loaded question, you're going to get an answer to a loaded question. You may have asked the wrong question, and that may be the real problem. With this particular thing about D-Star, of course, with internet and, you know, the communications, what happens is someone goes, aha, I got an answer. And then they start spreading it around through about 27,000 different sources, and it shows up on internet. And what's interesting is when people come back and say, well, you answered this question, but I wasn't quite sure what the question was you answered. What that tells me is someone is spreading an answer, but they're not spreading the question that was answered. So you can't see specifically what they asked. What that means then, and this is human nature, is you see a response, so you kind of try to read into it, well, what was the question? That's not good. You need to know specifically what was asked. And what was answered was based on the question asked. It doesn't become a general policy statement. It doesn't become a rule. It's not a rule interpretation. It's an answer to a question someone asked. If you don't have the question that was asked, take the answer, fold it in quarters, roll it up, and practice your foul shot, because you won't really be able to make sense out of it. That's the thing with repeaters and all that. The other thing to keep in mind with D-Star and some of these systems that have come up since then, the rules on repeaters were written back in the 80s. They were written around what existed at the time, which was primarily voice repeaters, FM, auxiliary links, remote receivers, some linking going on, systems, things like that. Things have changed an awful lot since the 1985 period. The rules were written at the time they were written. They reflect that time, and we try and write them so they won't be a handicap in the future. But what this really comes down to is the word in the rule that is used is simultaneously, a station that receives and simultaneously retransmits. When we had proposed that rule, we said instantaneously, and someone said, nah, it's not instantaneous. There's a delay between receiving and retransmitting, so simultaneous would be a better word. We use the word because you ask us to in the comments you filed. That's why the word's in there. Now someone wants to fight about the simultaneous. Well, does that mean a half second or a quarter second, or is it a tenth of a second? The reason this is important is if a station is a repeater, under the rules, it's restricted to certain frequency segments. If it's not a repeater, it's not restricted to those frequency segments. I can tell you what the definition of a repeater is. I can tell you what the frequency segments are. Those are in the rules. I can't tell you if it's a repeater. You have to decide that as the licensee. You have to look at the technical characteristics of the thing. How does it work? What is it doing? And as Riley says, use some common sense. Is it a repeater or not? The commission doesn't approve your systems. We're not going to tell you, yes, this is and this isn't. After this controversy blew up, I talked with the manufacturer. Within the manufacturer, there was a disagreement about whether or not it was a repeater. And it was a disagreement kind of between the engineering house and the marketing house. If the do we all know this? When the engineering and the marketing side of the company aren't agreeing, please don't ask me to settle that. You know, I didn't even know what this thing was until that email arrived. We get that all the time.
William Cross, W3TN, who works in the Mobility Division of the FCC's Wireless Communications Bureau. You can listen or download our fifth and final excerpt from the 2007 Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum from www.therainreport.com. If you are digitally challenged, you can listen to all five parts on the RAIN archive line at 773-249-0720. That's 773-249-0720. Otherwise, you can listen to this week on Joy Bubbles WB0RPA Simple Voicemail Box 641-985-5999. That's 641-985-5999. Press RAIN 7246. Before we leave you to your devices, we need to answer that vexing question that I asked earlier. What impact has the 17-year cicada occupation had on the ham bands in the Midwest this past month? For the answer, we turn to a familiar voice on RAIN, Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, who has the answer. It arrived in the form of a posting on the NS9RC Yahoo Groups by Bill Steffi, NY9H.
Talk about getting used to something. I got on MidCars, the Midwest Amateur Radio Service, on 7.258 MHz this morning, looking for a friend, WA9INF. I made a call for him, and the net controller told me I had something wrong with my signal. I called him again carefully, checking all the dials and meters and stuff, all looking okay. The net guy again told me there was a big problem with my audio, maybe RF or a loose wire. I always have just a touch of compression, 6 dB, but all looked okay at this end, and I have not had any RF or junk in my audio. I am an audio person. So I whipped out the Sennheisers and plug into the rig and turned on the monitor function to listen to the demodulated RF of my signal. And there was the noise. Hint, the window is open. Cicadas! I called the net guy back and closed the window for him. Amazing what a bit of compression can do with a bunch of bugs. That humorous anecdote, courtesy of Bill Steffi, NY9H, posted on the NS9RC Yahoo group June 15th.
That item was read by Blair Albert, KA9SEQ. If you have a humorous or vexing ham radio story related to the Midwest cicada occupation, drop a note to RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, to Hap, 1P, please, at therainreport.com. That's Hap at therainreport.com. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2007 RAIN. All rights reserved. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, saying 73 to all of you from us, including the cicadas, at RAIN, the Amateur Radio Information Network. Hang on just a minute. Shut up! Thank you.